And the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Thanks for joining us. We are here live every Wednesday, Embracing Aging. If you want to join our conversation, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. We have a great full studio this morning. I have three guests to join me talking all things seniors and aging. My first guest is Jim Robinson with Senior Care Solutions. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Sharon.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
We also have Greg Hollingsworth, the administrator of Marquis Shasta, and Lori Cruz, the director of nursing from Marquis Shasta. Welcome you two.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on our panel this morning. So we were kind of talking off the air just about rehab and placement and aging and flu. And if you have any questions on any of those topics, we have a great panel this morning with Jim owning Senior Care Solutions, helping families find the proper placement if their loved ones need to move out of their home or are getting discharged from rehab and need more care than can be had at home. And also we have, you know, Greg and Lori to talk about your rehab stay, what the purpose of rehab is, and what they can do for you, and what specifically what Marquis can do for you. So if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567. So to you, Greg, what do you think, what do you hear, and I'll tell you what I think, and Jim, pop in too, because I know you've been in home care and with seniors, is the biggest misconception about rehab, about your facility?
Yeah, I think we're battling quite a few stereotypes that have been set in place for decades. I mean, we still hear, I don't want to send my mom there, or I don't want to go there because that's where they drop off grandma to die, or that's where people go to just die.
It's a home.
Know, it's just some, mm-hmm. you know, dark, smelly, dank home. Mm-hmm. It is no longer that. Those days are long gone. And now when you walk into a rehabilitation facility, it is, you know, quite opposite. You know, with obviously with the 24-hour nursing, it's more hospital-like mm-hmm. than people want to think. It's not this old convalescent home. And
right.
I really do believe that, you know, this is changing. Buildings are starting to look nicer. The care that is given is just phenomenal. And people are really going through this process going, okay, that was pretty sweet, slick. The surgeries are getting better and better. So the rehab's getting faster mm-hmm. and people are in and out faster than ever.
Yeah. And I think people still say things like, oh, I don't want to send her to a home.
Right.
And that whole, you know, and by the way, you can't just send people to a home. They can't just come in there. They have to be accepted in. There's, you know, private pay, there's insurance coverages, there's all different kinds of things than when we dropped grandma off in her wheelchair.
Right, and a lot of mm-hmm. it comes from our side getting the medical paperwork and going through the process of going, can we even care for this patient or this, you know, this person
are
from
they
home
fit?
Or the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Are they fit? If they're too much care, we may not take that. We may not be able to. Mm-hmm. If we can, then we'll do it, and we'll, you know, obviously do it, you know, as quick as possible.
I would encourage people that are listening to go visit your building because you guys have had a massive renovation. It's
right.
so beautiful in there. The whole lobby is, again, it's hospital in the way of you've got the 24-hour nursing and the care, but it doesn't feel sterile.
No.
At all like the hospital setting
yeah.
does.
The home-like environment was a big push. I mean, the reason for our remodel was, number one, the building needed it, and we also wanted to transition our rehab area of our building to have more private suites.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a portion of rooms that are actually, you know, private. And our rooms that are dual occupied are very large. And you know what? For more than not, it needed to be done for the community. People are coming through this process. We have people come in all the time. They're just like, wait a minute, this is way prettier and nicer than we ever thought mm-hmm. we were walking into. We thought we were walking into this old, dark place. And it's allowed us to really enjoy and focus on other things other than what the building used to look like.
Right.
Because I was there before the building and it obviously needed an upgrade,
mm-hmm.
you know, telling people to don't look down, don't look at the carpet. Let's just keep your, you know, just look at the walls. And now it's like, yeah, here's what we can offer. So we already are past the whole, it's not a nice place. So
right.
now it's like, what kind of care is given? And that's mm-hmm. where I think, you know, we do accelerate
mm-hmm.
and, you know, give the care and the rehabilitation so that people heal faster and back home. Or back
how
to their
many
prior
beds,
setting.
How many beds there are rehab beds and how many beds there are long-term beds?
Right. So our building's, you know, sliced into two. We have long-term care, those patients that need the 24-hour care for the rest of their lives. We have 100 beds
okay.
for that. Our rehab portion, which is the front of the building, we have 51 beds.
Okay.
And like I said, private suite and dual occupied, mm-hmm. both very large, which are very nice. And it's first come, first serve. You know, it's not, you don't pay more, you get the private suite or anything like that.
Well, I know I gave you a referral a few months back and of a friend's mother who's 99. And she knows me through another mutual friend, Robbie Cleary, who owns Cleary's. And she ended up getting a private room, but and got confused over the fact that she thinks Robbie got her the private room. It wasn't me giving the referral, or I mean, and I don't know whether she got a private room because it was me. But she claimed her entire stay was so amazing because she had this private room and keeps thanking Robbie for it.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah,
I didn't get any of the credit. Yeah. What do you have to add, Lori? I mean, do you hear misconceptions or people are surprised about the environment there, or families are confused about what they're going to get? What's your take on this conversation?
I do. They still do believe out in the community that it's like an old place, an old dingy place, mm-hmm. and it's not. It's beautiful inside, and we try to make it home-like for the patients. Mm-hmm. We encourage the families and the patients to bring in pictures and photos and anything else that would make them feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is hard, and Jim, you know this, when yeah. we have seniors moving into, you know, even temporarily. What did you see with seniors that go into these kinds of places?
Well, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Their vision of what they're going to move into is people sitting around all day long in wheelchairs and doing nothing but, you know, vegetating.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's the old convalescent, you know, scenario. And unfortunately, the people that typically go into, not all, but the people that typically go into skilled care wind are the older folks that still have that vision.
Mm-hmm. And because their parents went through it, probably.
They saw mm-hmm. it. And so their children, I think the best thing we can do is learn to try to educate their children, who can hopefully placate the senior that this is going to be mm-hmm. okay.
Because it is traumatic. I mean, I've had clients that, you know, their memory, you know, just moving out of their environment, their memory, they're more confused. They're, you know, you probably see this too, Lori. You know, we're dealing with just a older person who maybe had some memory problems out of their own environment. And so sometimes that those things increase and
yeah,
it's
I mean,
more difficult.
Their move into any setting other than home, but mm-hmm. particularly a hospital-like setting, has a tendency to exacerbate dementia mm-hmm. and cognitive impairment problems. Mm-hmm. So it makes that that much worse.
I think it's going to be really interesting how the baby boomer, and maybe this is part of what's impacting just the shift in the I don't want to say facility. What would you call your place?
Community.
I think we're going to see the baby boomer wanting more, wanting better,
right.
Not accepting the status quo of what maybe our population to this point has
absolutely.
Tolerated.
I know our company they build. They mm-hmm. want to build brand new. Our company's based out of Oregon, so it's a little bit easier than California to build brand new.
Right,
so they
yeah.
built, you know, multiple facilities in Oregon and one in Vegas in the amount of time we were able to just remodel ours. But the next generation wants nicer. The next mm-hmm. generation wants hotel-like amenities mm-hmm. in a hospital setting, which is kind of an oxymoron. I mean, we still have to have
wine tasting. Who knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. It's going to get a little wild, actually, at some point. But it honestly is what is expected now. And mm-hmm. it's going to just get more and more, you know, of those expectations we hire. I mean, I know my mom would just be like, I'm not going there. Forget it.
Well, yeah,
it's not nice.
You look at Connected Living and how much, you know, the former Golden Umbrella and what they're, you know, I remember being on a committee years ago and them talking about, you know, the baby boomer isn't going to want to come and, you know, make a basket or take a square dancing class. They're going to want to do yoga and have a smoothie and a cooking class. You know,
right.
So we're looking at and people aging better and wanting more. And I think it'll be really interesting to see that progress. And we'll get into that more after this break. And again, we're talking all things senior and age rehab and placement. So if you have a question or concern or comment, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Have you ever tried ordering flowers from a 1-800 company, only to be disappointed by what shows up? Why not try us? We are Liberty Florist at 810 Lake Boulevard. We are Master Florist certified, delivered to all the Reading and surrounding areas, and our top priorities are customer service and the quality in our products. If you'd like $50 worth of flowers, that's what you'll get. No service fees, no middleman. So call us, Liberty Florist, at 768-1544. Check us out at libertyfloristreading.com or stop by at 810 Lake Boulevard.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. My guests this morning are Jim Robinson with Senior Care Solutions, Lori Cruz, the Director of Nursing at Marquis Shasta, and Greg Hollingsworth, the Administrator of Marquis Shasta. One of the things I wanted to chat a little bit about for our listeners, which I think is very, very important, is the flu. Lori, being the Director of Nursing, you were probably all hands on deck this year. We had a horrible flu season. It was not just in Reading, but, I mean, in Shasta County, but countrywide.
Countrywide. It was awful, but it was really, really bad up here in the Reading area, up in the North State, up in this area,
What are some of the precautions, the recommendations? What did you see? What should families be thinking about as we kind of head into this fall and we're kind of gearing up again for what may happen?
Well, first of all, flu season, I believe they, as soon as they get the vaccine out, which is usually in October, it's very good for the family members as well to get their flu shot. Because what happens is, besides protecting yourself, you're protecting your loved one who may be in a rehab facility. You're the one that's bringing that virus into them most of the time. It's not the patients giving it back to their family.
Mm-hmm. And I know I came in to visit Greg once before coming on the show last year, and there was a sign out. People were wearing masks. It was like, and I think it's kind of scary sometimes when you walk into environments like that because you feel like, oh, my God, am I going to get infected by something? But that's really not the case when you're in a facility like that. We're not really the ones at risk.
Absolutely not. And we encourage our staff and family members to wear a mask, especially if they have, you know, a cough or if they're sneezing or they have a fever. We're encouraging, instead of having the patient wear the mask, we're encouraging our families and staff to wear it so that the patients can be like in their home-like environment.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to give the flu or anything else to them because their immune systems are so weak that we could possibly kill them by doing that.
So generally speaking, when they get discharged from the hospital, because I know the majority of all of your folks are coming straight from the hospital, are they coming in with the flu or are they getting the flu once they're there because of the people coming in with it?
Every once in a while, we'll get someone from the hospital with the flu or they've tested positive or they've brought it, and that's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
The The community brings it into the facility.
Mm-hmm.
The people in our facility generally don't have it. If they have it, we put them in an isolation so that they can't spread it around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's common in every facility. They'll go into an isolation room.
I think it's interesting that what you said earlier, when you're young and healthy and you're, you know, 35 and you're like, hey, I'll run the risk of getting the flu, you know, whatever. But then you go visit grandma, who maybe hasn't been able to get her flu shot, maybe has been in the hospital or something like that, and there can be different strains. Maybe she's not protected from it or whatever.
Absolutely.
And you don't think about that all the time when you're a young, healthy person.
And the flu shots, even if grandma, most of our residents are the elderly, a lot of them do get their shots, but the problem is their bodies don't accept it as well as ours when we're younger.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
So they're still more susceptible.
They're not as protected.
To getting that. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
not. And then when their immune system is down, it's even easier for them to contract any of those viruses going around.
How did this last year compare to like the year before?
Oh my goodness, it was horrible. We had quite an outbreak, not just our building, but in the whole North State. Mm-hmm. But it was epidemic up here.
Was that due to different strains of flu, or
where there were a couple different strains of flu? There was an A and a B, and I believe it was mostly the A. There was just the immunization worked better on the B,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't work well for the type A. Was part of the problem.
Right, because they're guessing when they create those vaccines. They're kind of trying to
absolutely.
Put it together and figure out what will cover the most. Yeah, I know we had quite a few clients that passed away that didn't really have life-threatening things going on, but had enough compromisation from other things when they got the flu. It just compounded. And, you know, for those of you that don't know this, in Shasta County, if you work with seniors, you have to, as a business, you have to get a flu shot or wear a mask for flu season. And this year, I think it was like October to April or something. It was
long
really
year.
Long time.
It was the very end of April when they lifted it. Yeah.
And even my caregivers have to do that as well, just because, and that, which is great. The county requires that. And we ask for proof of that with all our staff. I'm sure you guys do too.
Absolutely.
You have someone come in and do it for them?
Since we have a lot of nurses around.
Yeah.
we put them to work.
Roll up their sleeves and get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Every single employee has to have it. We actually have to have proof, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to kind of get towards people coming in have to show proof as far as vendors go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's pretty regulated.
Yeah. I think that is really scary when you, and I bet family members do, especially like a spouse, they don't realize they have a little cold. They want to see their husband who's there. You know, they don't realize what that risk is of coming
right.
into the facility. Maybe not for him, but for other people that are sitting in the hall
yeah.
or the roommate or whatever.
And we start ramping up probably in August, letting staff know, letting them know, hey, here's the process. Here's what's going to happen. Flu season is coming again, and
mm-hmm.
here's what we want to make sure happens. Here's what's going to happen when a patient contracts it. We're going to be proactive. And if they start showing any signs or symptoms, we may put them on isolation just
mm-hmm.
to make sure. Because usually it takes a couple days for it to truly manifest itself, and we don't want to be 2 days behind where
mm-hmm.
they've had 2 days of, you know, maybe passing it around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we track all of that for our staff as well as our residents, so that if our staff, if we believe that they're going to get the flu or they're starting to show signs and symptoms, we track that and ask them not to come to work.
Did you have very many employees go out to?
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to think that when that's going around, they're
yeah.
going to they're
no one's
gonna
safe.
Do,
that's
yeah,
just
yeah.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, flu shot or
how
not.
How did you two fare?
I did okay. I'm
mm-hmm.
knock on wood.
Yeah.
I believe I actually got it right when the outbreak started,
uh-huh.
before we even knew. I was probably right at one of the very first with the residents,
mm-hmm.
just mildly lucky.
Right.
Though.
Yeah, because I know that, I mean, fortunately, and I'm seeing people in homes, and so they're not out in those environments as much, so we're bringing it in probably if they're going to get it. It's us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and like you were saying earlier, is, you know, people are in their homes. They're not out around a lot of people maybe as they're older, but now maybe they have to go to the hospital. Now they're around a ton of people.
Their immune systems are a little bit
right.
compromised because they're not around all of that.
Right.
Right.
So there's a lot of precautions put in
mm-hmm.
place with that, you know, in mind.
What did you see, Jim, last year with the flu? How did that impact the folks that you came in contact with?
Yeah, about the same. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's when we go marketing, walk into facilities and the signs on the door, and the answer is unless you need to be there, don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then as with you, the people that we provided in-home care for didn't have as many as you all do because, again, they're at home, and the reason that we're providing in-home care is because they can't get out and about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we do their errands for them, and et cetera. Did. I don't do it any longer. But so we go grocery shopping for them so they don't have the potential of picking up the flu from another
mm-hmm.
consumer.
The other big thing that I had a lot of clients come down with last year, Lori, was C. diff.
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about that? So when you're already, like, how does one contract that? And when you're already sick, it seems like they were already sick, like in the hospital or in a rehab facility, and then this, like they're about to get discharged, and then they get C. diff. Do you see that happen a lot just because their immune system's low and they're more?
We do, and C. diff is a complicated virus. So C. diff is actually a spore, and it's not killed very easily. And the way you can contract it, you can get it from person to person or the spore being in the environment, and it lives for a long time. Bleach is one of the only things that kills it.
Mm-hmm.
The antibiotics, when people are on antibiotics, what happens is it kills all the extra bacteria in your gut, and then those other bacteria overgrow, and that's what causes the C. diff.
Okay.
So a lot of times you don't even have to be around anyone. It's usually someone who's been on an antibiotic, and it doesn't even have to be for a prolonged time. Can be for a couple days, and you can get the C. diff because it's killed everything in your gut.
And it's just like chronic diarrhea, pretty much.
It's chronic diarrhea, and yeah, you just lose a lot of the elderly can die from that because they get so dehydrated.
Right.
Even with IV fluids or extra help, they die for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've had people. And you're right. So I have heard that. So the antibiotics. So they're on antibiotics for something else unrelated.
Exactly.
Which most people are.
Right.
You know, at that age.
And they're with you guys or in another rehab facility for being treated for something. It could even be a surgery. They put them on antibiotics afterwards as a precaution.
They do. They give them antibiotic doses usually before and afterwards during the surgery, but that can give somebody C. diff as well.
So you guys are kind of on watching that a lot, I imagine, in there.
Oh yeah. C. diff has a distinct smell. You can pretty much start to tell when somebody gets C. diff.
Yeah, so that.
But the rooms are hard to clean. We have rooms that have wood floors because it doesn't come out of the carpets very well. It doesn't come off of the inanimate objects. It just sticks to it. You have to really scrub or break the spore open. So to get it off your hands, if you have a relative that has it, you have to scrub as hard as you can to break the spore. That's pretty much what kills it. It's not the antibacterial soap because that doesn't kill it. You have to scrub and break the spore
open. So it's like wearing gloves is probably what needs to happen.
Wearing gloves, exactly, and a mask, and
yeah,
a gown. So we'll put people in isolation, and you'll see, and we'll ask families to wear a gown and a mask and gloves when they go in to visit them.
Which this makes a lot of sense because I see it a lot as they're about to get discharged. So they're healing up. Their antibiotics are coming to the end of their prescription or whatever. They're getting a discharge plan together, and boom. That bacteria takes over.
It does. It killed all the good flora in your gut, and then you have an overgrowth, and it's the C. diff is what it is.
Yeah.
And ironically, the one thing that cures it is oral antibiotics.
So then you're back on antibiotics.
You are, but it's a different one, and it has to be taken orally because it has to go through your system. It can't be given IV.
Okay.
But it's becoming very resistant is the problem.
Yeah, and you're right. When someone contracts C. diff or you know, a lot of different things for that matter, but you're dealing with dehydration, fall risk is increasing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're getting up to go to the bathroom and they're weaker and they don't
feel
good.
And confusion.
Yeah. And so they're, because I've had people come home from the hospital, you know, and get it right when they get home. Same
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And the switch flips and sometimes we're there. You've probably run into this too, Jim, with your clients.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it freaks out the family and it freaks out the caregiver because, I mean, boy, this is not something you want to get.
Oh, no.
Well, and the spores are hard to be broken down.
They are. The spores are hard, but like I said, you can get it from person to person or from, you know, getting on the, you know, just touching an object that somebody's had C. diff and the spores are floating in the air, or you get it from the antibiotic use, so it's not necessarily that a caregiver or somebody else has given it to them. They just got it themselves.
Right, right.
But with precautions, you're much safer. I think the problem is people don't understand. Sharon mentioned it. Put gloves on. Wear a mask.
And a gown over your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And the CDC doesn't necessarily recommend, like, the booties. It's like the transmission rate is so low on your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you won't see people wearing booties, but that's okay. And I don't know exactly why that is, but they just say the transmission rate is so low there's not a need to wear the booties to cover your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of your clothes there is probably because you're leaning over the patient or you're touching them. Those spores just transmit so easily they're airborne.
Wow. Well, when we come back, one of the things I want to chat about is when you guys have someone finishing up rehab, how that discharge process goes, and then we'll talk a little bit about Jim and how Jim works with you guys, because I think a lot of times you set people up so well to leave you, and I want to chat about how that works, because a lot of families don't understand all the pieces that go into that discharge and how important that is. So we'll talk about that more. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with more Generations Talk Radio. Stay with us.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention. Since 1968.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are here every Wednesday live on KCNR 1460. Embracing aging, give us a call at 605-4567 or jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. My guests this morning are Jim Robinson, owner of Senior Care Solutions, Greg Hollingsworth, the administrator of Marquis Shasta, and Lori Cruz, the director of nursing of Marquis Shasta. And I wanted to chat about the average rehab stay. What kind of therapies do they get? How many times a day do they get? And, you know, what is the average length of their stay? And when they discharge out, what kind of things do you guys put in place? And then that's, you know, generally when I get the call or when Jim gets the call, they're discharging either home or needing, you know, a higher level of care. How does that process work?
So our discharge process actually starts almost on the day of admit. For our people that we're expecting to go back to the community, mm-hmm. which is probably 90% of them that come in for rehab, we start planning this on the day they come in.
We have a care conference with the family members and our social workers and nurses to start discussing that, obviously to start discussing their care while they're in our facility. Mm-hmm. But honestly, we need to get on this process. If they're not going home, maybe they're going to assisted living to a different type of care facility. That can't just happen in a couple of days.
Right.
There's paperwork. There's stuff mm-hmm. that needs to happen. So
kind of a goal setting,
right?
Meeting.
And mm-hmm. like Lori said, it's actually upon admit, you know. And I welcome. What can we do to get you
right.
out?
Right, and I think in you know managing expectations too, because I've had families with a loved one that has a stroke or a hip fracture comes from the hospital into your place, and you're managing expectations at that point because they may be having an unrealistic version of how and right. when this person's going to get yeah. go home and what abilities they will have.
Yeah, I mean, and the questions are asked. You know, was mom walking before? No, she just sat there all the time. Well, now you want her to walk perfectly,
right?
You know, so that is
managing,
you know,
expectations
managing
of like
expectations.
We're not, and you know, you have a 89-year-old who had a pretty severe stroke. It's what's our new normal going to look like, and what's the best we can hope for, and the right. most independent we can help this person be.
Right.
And we're
mm-hmm.
trying to get them back to their prior level of functioning, not better. Right below their prior level of functioning is generally where we're trying to get them
mm-hmm.
because then they transition
mm-hmm.
To a higher level of care. But we do the physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. And we start the physical therapy process generally on the day of admit. If it's later in the afternoon, we'll do it the next morning. But we start that immediately mm-hmm. after their nursing.
Got to get them up.
After mm-hmm. Yeah, right after their admissions. Process is done, we'll start the physical therapy process. And they're down in therapy a couple hours in the morning and an hour in the afternoon, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They'll see them, most of them they see twice a day, and both physical therapy and occupational therapy will see them. And then if they need speech therapy, which is a little bit more individualized or, you know, specialized, the speech therapist will come in and see them as well
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis if needed.
And the average day is what?
Well, and just to go back, something that, yeah. you know, Marquis Shasta does is we actually see patients twice a day for therapy, Monday through Friday, which all the other places only do once a day.
Okay.
And then they actually see our patients on weekends. And so that obviously allows our patients to get home sooner. So when we start talking about length of stay in a facility, our goals are 12 to 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously as we get closer to those days, hey, you know, you're not progressing as quickly, so that day may get pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a hard line we're drawn mm-hmm. on 14. You're going home, you know.
And I want to go back to that, what you said, because I've encouraged people for years, my clients, to visit rehab facilities, to tour them, to know where you want to go. You have a choice when you leave the hospital. A lot of times they'll say, you know, this place has a bed and this is where we're sending mom. And families don't realize they have a choice. So I actually said this on the radio one of my shows years ago to go take a tour, and this man called my office and he had gone to all of the rehab facilities in town and got the brochures and chose one and made sure his kids knew, because again, your children are coming here from somewhere else, they don't know the rehab facilities, they haven't gone in, and part of it is like the therapy that you get. I mean, you're there for the therapy, you're there to transition back home, so that's a huge factor in where you're going to go, not just the size of the rooms and whether you each have a phone in your room or a TV or whatnot, or how close it is to your house. And those are some factors people think about, making sure that the spouse can get there easily to visit. But therapy and how often you get it, that's why you're there.
Right. That's going to get you home sooner.
That's going to get you home sooner, and you're going to have, you're going to bounce back quicker than laying in bed longer and getting less and going two days on the weekend without getting, you know, active physical therapy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and this gentleman obviously did the right thing. No one wants to go tour facilities, but you better do it, because it is much easier to tour a facility before rather than when your loved one's in the hospital
mm-hmm.
and you're stressing over what just happened. I just flew here from the other side of the country and now I got to go tour a facility and the hospital's telling me I got to choose one now.
Right.
You know, so it's there's a perfect world out there, but honestly, there's with the amount of baby boomers coming in, there's going to be that many more people coming into our settings, all of our settings, which means there are going to be less, you know,
mm-hmm.
less beds, I guess you could
say. Well,
and
I want to say one of the things, when we first met, I said that I have families that are told in discharge from the hospital that so-and-so is the only place that has beds.
Right.
And you said to me, we always have a bed.
We always have a bed. The only time we will deny a patient is if we cannot meet their needs medically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, obviously, if we are looking through their charts and we see maybe they've been kind of hitting some of the nurses at the hospital, that may be a factor.
Right. Combative behavior, because you can't have them hurting your other patients.
Right. So, you know, that's why it's tough, because, yes, we always have beds open. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but our goal is obviously to run a business
mm-hmm.
and to get people healthy and home. And so we want to take as many as possible. So every person, as we've talked about, has a right to decide and dictate where they want to go to a facility. Back, you know, in prior days, maybe the doctor demanded where they went
mm-hmm.
or the hospital told you where to go. Well, today's day and age, the patient has
you're
the right
a consumer.
To choose.
It's your insurance. And have you heard that, Jim, before?
Oh, yeah.
People,
well,
they don't have a bed there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just tell them, go call the facility.
Call the facility.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so that would be my advice, too. If you really want your parent at Marquis Shasta and you're being told from the hospital that there's no beds there, you know, give Greg a call.
Yeah, we can absolutely have a conversation of maybe
yeah.
why or what's going on. Sometimes
yeah,
we have
the hospital may say they can't take your mom because there's certain like feeding tubes or different things that
right.
that you guys
yeah.
can't take on.
Right.
Right.
You know, and the only other thing that really comes to mind is maybe we're getting you know, multiple admits in one day, and to add one more is just that much
more. It could
more.
Be like, we can take her tomorrow.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, which is hard because the hospital would go, well, I want you out now.
Right.
You know, so obviously there is, if you want to come to a certain facility and you end up having to go to another one, you can transfer. Piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let your social worker know and let your loved one know, and we can transfer them, no problem.
And I don't think people understand that. They think once they're there,
it's locked in.
Just locked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and so if your loved one is in, and I've said this to people before, and, you know, I've heard positive and not so positive things about every rehab facility because people's experience differ
Absolutely.
Depending on the nurses they have, the client, the patient we're talking about, the age that they have, the family members and their expectations of what should be happening.
Their roommate.
Yeah, their roommate.
Oh, sure.
So,
the food.
But so when I get, you know, a call and they're really unhappy, I'll say, you can move them. I think you have to pay for the transport privately. Usually that, like, if it's Meditrans or something, but if, you know, like anything, if you have home health coming in and you're not happy with your home health agency, you know, if you, anything that Medicare provides, you have a choice and you can decide to go to another agency. And I think people need to be empowered to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and there are times where we have family members or patients where they're just, we can't meet their needs. They're not happy with mm-hmm. the way we're doing things. And I have no problem going, hey, if it would be better for you to go somewhere else to another facility, we're not kicking you out by any means,
mm-hmm.
but if, you know, maybe we're just not the right fit for you. Let's look at a different facility. That's, mm-hmm. that can be done. You know,
well, that, and I think that's happened with Jim and I in business too. And
yeah.
I've had clients and I say, you know, I am just not, we are not meeting your needs. Like you are, we cannot make you happy.
Yeah.
I'm sending the best caregivers I have. You're still unhappy. Let me help you transition in. I think I gave you one of them.
You did. We won't mention his name.
No,
but,
because Jim owned Senior Helpers before Senior Care Solutions. And we had this gentleman and I actually called Jim and I said, I'm giving you this referral. Don't hate me. Because he was just a struggle, but you guys had him for a while and it ended up working out.
For 3 or 4 years, uh-huh. I think, but at the end it was the same thing.
Yeah.
We can't do this any longer.
You finally find a caregiver that can handle it, and if that caregiver ever leaves you, there's right. no one else. But anyway, right. but it does happen that I just run out of the right people, and I'm just like, hey, you know, I want someone to be happy. They're, especially with our services, they're paying for it.
Right.
You want them to be happy. So when the discharge comes, will you guys go to a home visit if they request that? Will you guys go to the house and check it out?
Our therapy department yeah. will mm-hmm. go to the house and yeah. check it out if they're going home and there's a need for them mm-hmm. to go, but absolutely.
Yeah, and I love that because we just recently had a client who was in a different facility, but they came to do the home visit and the wheelchair didn't fit through the front door and or the bathroom door, and this client was still doing a pivot transfer, and it was one of those, if we hadn't done the home visit, the therapy department doesn't know how wide a door is on an older home.
Oh, sure. And one of the main things they're looking for things like throw rugs on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Throw rugs are so dangerous for the elderly people. They mm-hmm. trip on those all the time and get fractures. And they're looking for grab bars. And mm-hmm. they're looking for bars in the shower. So a lot of that is done prior to discharge
right.
as well. They'll ask them and they'll call the families and ask them how the home is set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if need be, they'll go out and do the home visit.
Right. And I think that's super helpful, too, because families I've been in, they're trying to decide where to put a grab bar. And they're not realizing where the stroke took place, the height of their loved one, what's the easiest angle for them to be reaching with a caregiver standing there assisting. And so this is great to have a therapist's input into where the grab bar should be placed.
Oh, sure.
You know, because sometimes people don't realize which arm is hurt or which arm is stronger. And that therapist has been working with this person for a while can really be like, okay, she doesn't pivot best to the left. She pivots best to the right. So let's adjust the bathroom that way.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And we try to do education with whoever the main caregiver is going to be if they need a caregiver at home, whether it's family or a relative or somebody they've hired mm-hmm. independently. We'll do education with them as
mm-hmm.
well on how to care for that patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they, you know, families and loved ones and patients and the elderly, they need to use the resources they have at our setting to help them. I hate to say it, but a lot of people look at, you know, the internet and go, well, you guys need to do this. And it's like, well, I do have to say, we do this for a living. We do this every single day. This may be the best option for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's hard because sometimes we know better. And, you know, we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it on certain things, too. But using the resources like the therapist telling you how high a grab bar should be. The
mm-hmm.
nurse saying, hey, we're going to do this. Well, why? I read that you shouldn't. Okay, well, here's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of have to trust it a little bit. We're not everyone's out to get you. We are looking for the best outcomes possible because that makes us look better, makes your loved one healthier.
For sure. And I know just having gone through my 47-year-old brother-in-law having a stroke and being in rehab with him in Chico and hanging out with him during the day and watching the different steps that he's taking in his progression, And why are they making him try to put this block into this hole? He's got double vision, you know, but it's dexterity. He's standing while he's doing it. He's doing some, you know, it's like there's a reason.
Skills.
Yes, there's a reason for, and he was so frustrated and he was so tired afterward, you know, and it's like we want to see, you know, different steps happening. And so and that's a real, and I just sat there because I know better than to speak up, but it was interesting to hear, you know, to see the different progress he made. And there was a reason they were doing that first, rather than trying to get him to hold a walker first, and, you know, different things like that. And so we go, why isn't he up yet?
Right.
You know, and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So
I had a family member go, well, he had a stroke on the side and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we're well aware of that, and hence why we're working on these certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and again, it's stressful for the families to go through some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, you know, the education piece. And I think the families could use the resource that's there,
mm-hmm,
as a positive benefit.
Awesome. Right? When we come back, we're gonna let Jim close this out and talk about how he helps these folks that are wanting to get home and maybe aren't able to right away, or that's not an option for them anymore, and what he does and how he works with Marquis. So stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio.
I just never took the time, but you were always on my mind.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
With the changing of seasons, maybe it's time for a change for your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to discover River Point. River Point, by Reading's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is located in South Reading. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees, featuring RV parking, energy efficiency, exceptional interior and exterior features. And just wait until you see the kitchens. Designer kitchens, Palomar Builders has spared no expense in the room you spend much of your time in. They feature granite countertops plus many other quality amenities and your stylish master suite. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing. Discover River Point in South Reading by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. So make plans to come see the beautiful model home at River Point in South Reading. For more information, contact Debbie Morgan, Coldwell Banker, CNC Properties at 604-2127. River Point in South Reading with Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
Until the day that I die.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. We are back with our final segment. It's been a great hour with Greg Hollingsworth, the administrator of Marquis Shasta, Lori Cruz, their director of nursing, and Jim Robinson, who owns Senior Care Solutions. So before the break, we were chatting about a little bit about the discharge process out of rehab. So, Jim, how do you work with their discharging patients? What is your role in that?
Yes. The
first thing I need to do is sit down with the social workers, and if I can get involved in a care conference, I try to do that. So we can understand what their short-term needs are as well as their long-term needs. Because when they get discharged, what will happen is there's going to be possibly physical therapy continuing. There may be some medication regimen that's going to go on for a while. And then slowly that would taper off. And then we have to look at what their long-term needs are going to be. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is working with the family to try to understand what is the right environment for their loved one to be in. We have facilities with as few as 4 beds. And with as many as 100. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's we want to focus on where they're going to feel the most comfortable. I'll give an example. I lost my mother-in-law 5 years ago to Alzheimer's disease. She lived with us for 2.5 years. She spent 50 years of her life in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 950-square-foot home, living basically in isolation after she closed her business. So going into one of the larger facilities and going to dinner with 40 or 50 other people would be overwhelming mm-hmm. to her. So we needed to place her in a small one, but she was also a flight risk because she was trying to go home. Mm-hmm. So we had to do a secure facility. So part of it is understanding what their social, environmental, medical, and safety needs as mm-hmm. well as their medical needs are. And then the next step is to go out and visit the facilities with family members so that they can understand where this location mm-hmm. is, what it feels like, what it looks like. And then there's, like Greg said earlier, you don't just drop mom off and she's in the facility. 2 things have to happen. One is, as much as you want to find the right facility for your loved one, the facility wants to make sure that your loved one is the right fit for the rest of their community.
Because we still kind of are on the hook for after the patient discharges
sure.
and goes into your care.
Yeah,
so exactly. We want to make sure that we have great relationships and that we trust the care that's being given mm-hmm. out of our hands.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like
a
your folks
transition.
Just say, yeah, they don't say, like, okay, here you go, he's all yours, and they never hear about it. You know, we try to communicate back, this is what the facility they're going to move into, even if we can, how the progression is going after they're finished with their transition from you and into assisted living. And then we also have to worry about all of the paperwork that needs to be done, because, again, you will give them a TB test, which is great, but they still need a physician's report that needs to be done. And, again, the facility has to come out and interview them and the family, and then we have to arrange for transportation to get them to the facility.
And there could be a waiting list.
There could be a waiting list.
So there's a... You know, and I think we've all been involved in this, but there's nothing worse than a bad placement.
Right.
And this is why working with companies like Jim's is so important, because family members don't know, and to think to ask the questions that Jim, you know, when you're in this mode of trying to get mom wants home, she wants out, she can't go back home, it's not safe, she needs to go into assisted living community. You're trying to see, I think the last I heard, where there was like 50, I mean, because you've got private homes.
They're 42 now.
Yeah, 42. So, yeah. And there are some that have kitchens and some that are apartments and some that, you know, have dementia trained staff and some, you know, and Jim's helping families look where this person's going to go. If
right.
they have a dementia diagnosis, but they're not wandering yet, you know, they will be.
We need to be
sure that they're in a place that can accommodate that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the other, again, is to make sure that if they need a wake staff around the clock, that we have a wake staff around mm-hmm. the clock. So there are a lot of things that come into play. And you mentioned that what I try to do is help people find the facility that their loved one is going to spend the rest of their life mm-hmm. in. Particularly if you're dealing with dementia and cognitive issues, change is the enemy of the disease.
Absolutely.
So if we place them in one spot and it doesn't work out, it's not like we can just go try 2 or 3 more until we find the right mm-hmm. one, because they're going to have a continued decline and you probably never will find
right.
the right one.
And your services are free to the family.
They are free to the mm-hmm. family. I do collect a referral fee from the facility. Mm-hmm. That's how I make my living. But what I'll do is I'll meet with the family and we'll talk about what their loved one's needs are, take some notes. I'll go back and look and see, depending upon what the situation is. Sometimes there's an immediate need for a bed, and so that kind of shrinks the gene pool
right.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Sharon, sometimes they're full. And if they're full, if they can go home safely, it may be that they hire you and put in some more extensive care until they can that bed opens mm-hmm. up at mm-hmm. the facility. Sometimes that's not an option. And then we want to just, like I said, we want to make sure that they're safe and secure. And then once we find that out, take them on the tour, and then walk them through the process so that they get their loved ones placed. And so it's, and I'll pick them up and my car, and we'll drive them around.
Kind of like a realtor. That's what I always say. It's like a realtor.
Yeah.
He gets his fees at the end of the closing of the deal.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't get paid.
Right.
And, you know, just part of what happens. I've done it before where I've taken them to two or three or four different places, and then I'll get a phone call the next day, and all on their own, they found another one, and it's okay.
And I encourage families all the time, like, if their loved one is even not hasn't gone to rehab, is at home, that they suspect this person's going to need care, they can call you, they can pick that facility, and they can get on the waiting list, because you can say, I want that room with a view of the river, or I want that corner room, and you can be on that waiting list for years. They can call you and say, are your rooms ready? You say, never mind, pass.
You know, I encourage people, if they move into rehab and it looks like there may be a potential that they're not going to be able to go home, don't wait until we're 3 or 4 days away from discharge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call me.
It gets critical at that point, and you're dealing with who has a room.
Right. Whereas if they call initially, we've got time to go out and look at various facilities, and they can make their selection, and if there's potentially they can put a deposit down and secure the room so that it doesn't get full, so they can move into the into the facility.
And you're looking at financial needs that they have too, as you're looking at this, because I think a lot of times what I've seen is the mom is doing fine. Dad is the one that's going into assisted living. We want to be careful with their resources because mom may need something someday. So we want to there's a budget here.
Yeah, part of it is going to be looking at what the costs are. Mm-hmm. The other is going to be to see if there are some options for veterans. There's a program called Aid in Attendance. And for a veteran, I think the monthly is up to about a little over $1,800 a month. And then I think for a surviving spouse, it's $1,066 a month. So that there are some things out there that may be able to help them. There are some limitations to that program and qualifications. We won't go on to them, into them here, but I try to offer all the solutions that we can. But you're right, Sharon. What last thing you want to do is put somebody in a facility that costs $5,000 a month. And moms is left with $500 a month to survive on.
And one of the important things, too, for us is after we discharge someone, they actually have 30 days where they can come back to us if they continue to have failure of any kind. A lot of times the first number to dial is 911, and we can actually continue to give them care back in our facility if something happens.
And, again, that's where the communication needs to take place between you and I and the facility and you and I.
Absolutely.
So that we understand what's going on, so that if something needs to happen, we can jump in and help rather than wait until it becomes a crisis.
Right.
Right. And then they're back in the hospital taking up a bed where that could be for someone
else. And some people do have a decline when they get home. The C. diff may come because we didn't know that they had that coming on, or they may have a secondary fall or an infection or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think some people probably choose to leave. Maybe they qualify to stay longer. They want to get back home or they want to get out. They go. They weren't ready. The rubber meets the road. And I've told them, too, like, you can go back for a couple more days or a week or whatever.
And they don't have to go through the emergency room to get back to our place. All they need to do is call us, and we can do a direct admit from the care home they're coming from.
That's great to know.
Yeah. And the other you'd mentioned decline, though, you need to expect a certain amount of it. Again, particularly with those that are suffering from cognitive impairment, easy for me to say, you will have a decline, and they will typically bounce back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the process when I go through with the family is do a little bit of counseling about what to expect when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is interviewing the patient, the client. Because everybody takes these things a little differently. Some are ready for it, and others are like they're digging their heels and they don't want to.
Right.
And so there's sometimes we have to get a little creative in the way we deal with them.
Well, thank you all for joining me today. It's been the hour went by so fast.
It did.
Absolutely.
Always does.
Yeah. So I would encourage any of you listening, if you want to reach out to Jim, why don't you give your contact info?
Sure. My number is 530-223-5014.
And it's Senior Care Solutions.
Yep.
And Marquis.
Yeah, Marquis Shasta. So phone number is 530-222-3630. Call. We'll give you a tour. Come check the place out. We'd love to have you.
Yep, and I encourage all of you, again, the reason I love doing the show is really hitting families and loved ones with information before crisis mode. We've all in this industry seen people making decisions in the crisis time, and sometimes it works out. Sometimes the decision is not the best one. Sometimes the stress of it is overwhelming for the family, and we want to see people have the best outcome and age the best way they possibly can. So Thank you for joining us today. Again, we are Generations Talk Radio. We're here every Wednesday at 9 a.m. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And again, I'm Sharon Clark. Have a great day. And remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days.